Well, we had a wonderful trip. God was so good as we traveled this great big country. I was telling the pastor this morning, I just pray that people were so much in a hurry everywhere you go. And I'm a people watcher anyway. And through the airport, people were running and lives were so, you could just tell they were just on edge. But I know that faithful God, amen. Everything was like he had his hand on it. I got to give him all praise. The trip went off without a hitch, and let us go to prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, just a wonderful time. And Lord, as we review this lesson from last week, Father, I just pray that you have your way, your will. Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds. Lord, open our ears that we may hear your true words. Lord, take everything from me. Lord, I want nothing other than to be your mouthpiece. Father, again, all glory and honor is yours. And Lord, just be with each one here today. Be with the rest of the services today. Father, just, Lord, we love you. And we just thank you for this opportunity to come. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Last week's, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I'm going to read this. It's only 46 through 49 one more time. And then, because we've got about halfway through it. And I just want to thank you all for your participation. And like I said, you know, this is for us to have a conversation, to ask questions that maybe you've had, maybe something you don't understand. So there is no wrong question. The only wrong question is one that never gets asked. So this morning we're in Luke. I'm in John. I was ready for the next one. Luke 6, 46 through 49. The Word of God says this, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." 48 says, "He is like a man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded up on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Last week we talked about it wasn't so much about the carpenters. It was about choosing whether or not you want to spend an eternity with the Lord or to a place to spend eternity that God himself made for the devil and the angels. We got all the way over to, I think we got through five. I think we're on question six this morning. And it says, "Suppose you were in the crowd who heard Jesus tell this parable. What would be your immediate reaction?" Any thoughts, any ideas? I'll get us started off. I think if I was there and I was listening to them, and even today when I read this, I think I want to look at my foundation. You know, am I standing on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, or am I standing with the world on shaky ground? And I think more and more, I think we see now that this world is truly a shaky place to be in. It's not only here in New Mexico, it's the same in West Virginia, it's the same in Israel, it's the same in Russia, it's the same in Antarctica. The world is a shaky place. But rest assured, just like I said when we started, you know, I saw people running and bustling and everything was just in a hurry. Take a deep breath and just give God thanks that you are standing on that firm foundation. So any thoughts on this? What would your thoughts be if you heard Jesus talk about this parable in a way of solid and shaky? Any thoughts? Bruce just mentioned something. God loved us so much that he gave us his written word. I mean, if you get shaky or if you're not sure about things, folks, you can always go to this Bible. And it is built upon, and it is the true foundation. It's a solid rock in your life. You know, it's always referred to it as an operating manual for the human soul. I mean, it's, you know, so. Any other thoughts this morning? All right, let's look at question number 7. Oh, I've got something I want to add. It reminded me of this verse in James 1:22. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive or fool themselves. If you're standing on that solid rock, act like you're standing on that solid rock. And we'll get into this in the next lesson too a little bit, but it's so important, you know, and everybody says, well, the Christian life is hard. Well, the hard part is living your life like you're truly calling out, Lord, Lord, you truly are my Lord, you know. So I think sometimes we just need to show the world what that means. Will you have trials and troubles? Yes, you will. But don't let your faith be shaken. Don't let the world get to you. Stand there and smile when it's the hardest. You know, give a kind word instead of a harsh word. So think of a child today growing up in this time. You've got the social media. You know, it used to be you got in a dispute over a baseball game or something. You just went in behind the dugout and you settled things. I'm talking about, maybe you ladies did too, I don't know. But I know that's how men were, you know, and young boys, and then you forgot about it. You know, you just forgot about it, and you went back and you played ball. Today, one sentence on social media can ruin the life of a child forever. You know, it is a helpful tool, but I do believe it's a worldly tool. It can be used right, but it can sure be used wrong. And a child today growing up, you know, it's a tough world to grow up in because of social media. And it's almost like, well, I read it on Facebook, so it's got to be real, you know. And it can be so hateful. You see things, grown people who wouldn't, forgive me, Lord, you know, people that you knew that you really wouldn't put much salt into what they were saying because you've been around them their whole life and they were kind of like in outer space anyway. Well, now they have a platform that they can spew this stuff. And like I said, well, I read it on Facebook. It's got to be real. You know, and this whole thing about social media and the news and liberalism and even so far conservative, you know, it's almost, that's the reason. We as born-again Christian people, we truly need to take these words to heart. You know, yes, the world, like Brother Fred said, we know what the world is. It's kind of spinning off, and the world has some terms for it. But listen, it doesn't matter. The world is doing this so that we get anxious and upset. If you're truly standing upon that solid rock, what do you have to fear? You know, the old politician says the only thing you have is to fear is fear itself. We don't have a fear because we know the one who laid the foundation of the universe, everything in it. We know that. And yes, I'm guilty. You know, at times I get anxious or upset, but listen, the thing about the Holy Spirit and the thing about having Jesus Christ as your Savior and a Father in heaven that truly loves us, we can always come back to that solid rock. We can always stand on that. And folks, if nothing else, when you feel this time coming on and people around you are going different directions, stand firm on that rock and they'll come to you because they see that as something solid and something spinning out of control. And it's a perfect way to open the door. How do you stay calm during this? It's not because of me. It's because of Jesus Christ, because He is my Lord. And that opens the door of opportunity. You know, it was so important that the Lord said, you know, we need to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, how can we expect forgiveness from the Father? I mean, it's that important. And this hard time of being a Christian is rooted right here. The world is watching. When they see us come apart, when they see us begin to act, maybe momentarily, And we're all weak, we're all fleshy. But you have to really be on guard all the time because people truly are watching. And it's from the little ones to the big ones. You know, they're watching us. And that's okay, you know, because I want to think of myself in a way that I've trusted God to the point that I err more. And I do err. I sin all the time. Not all the time, but, well, yeah, probably do. But I'm a sinner. You know, it all, I guess, depends on how you look at the day. But if you come apart and begin to act like the world, non-believers will look at that and say, I don't need that in my life. I've got enough turmoil in my life. You know, so take a deep breath and just, you know, I've got a 20-second rule. And there's times, I'm telling you, you just want to, you know, but if you just take that deep breath and just ask the Lord, help me, give me something, and just wait 20 seconds, you know, and then your response probably will be a little less harsh, maybe a little softer. And you never know how that may affect somebody around you. Because like I said, and even young Christians, those are the ones that you got to really be, got to watch around. You know, you can do things, even though you don't mean it, you can do something that derails that, you know, and just puts them on the wrong path too, or maybe even drop out of faith. Did y'all ever hear the song about the last Sunday? There's actually a song that they sing about the last Sunday, about the rapture has taken place. You know, Jesus has gathered the church and took them home. But yet Sunday morning is, just like you said, there's still life going on. People are still getting ready for church. They're getting ready for a softball game. They're getting ready to mow the grass. They're ready to do the things of the world. But, you know, my heart aches. You know, Pastor and I were talking there just briefly. And, you know, I look forward. You know, when you come to fellowship, you sing a nice song. You have a good participation that brings glory and honor to God. It's that fellowship. It's just that feeling of, oh, what a blessing. And I think towards the time of heaven. You know, if you've ever been somewhere where you've seen all kinds of people and they're all dressed in multicolors, and you know, I remember going to Sight and Sound Theater up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they were just there to see a play that brought honor and glory to God. And people from all nationalities were there, just dressed. And it was just, and I told Rose, I said, this is the little taste of what heaven will be like. Just everybody from all over the world, just praising God. And, you know, you think, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, just take me away from this sadness, this sorrow, this heartache. And it truly is a hard place to grow up and to raise a family and just try to do the things that you're supposed to do. You know, so anybody ever have that moment to where you don't need 20 seconds, but you maybe need 20 minutes? Maybe to get two-by-fours? Maybe take them to Lowe's and get a 4x4? I mean, it's listen, we're flesh. We're sin-filled people. And if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be lost. So it is, you know, if you're going to claim the Lord Jesus Christ, especially to the world, and don't put on an act. You ought to get yourself to a place to where it's natural, that this is just the way I am. You have a smile on your face when everything else is just spinning out of control, because you are standing upon that solid rock, and that is truly the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does have a calm. It's a peace that the world can't give. Only he can give. So, if you do not have love, you don't have anything. And I think Rose and I can kind of echo those too, those words, that we were visiting churches also. And we felt as though we were welcome here. We felt the love. You know, are we on this journey together? Absolutely. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as the firm foundation and love as the thing that the church pours out, You're missing it. You're missing it. Because a kind word or a smile, when you're having trouble, you don't know what that person is going through. You know, you don't know why they're seeking peace, you know, but you need to encourage them just by a kind word or a smile, you know, just love. You know, grandbabies, love. You know, it's the neighbor down the street, love. You know, the problem with some people today, even inside the walls of the church, and I'm going to say this because I mean it. Some would rather see a good stoning than they would a good saving. And that's sad. That's sad. That's just, it's just not. We sometimes allow the world to seep inside the places where the world should come, not to stone, but to be saved. And that's inside the walls of God's house. Not because we're so much better. You know, if people really could see us for who we are, and not in their own imagination or what they think we are. We're just people in need of a Savior that have found the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's, you know, however we can encourage somebody, especially the lost, just like this. You know, professing Christians hear Christ, but they don't obey Him. It has such an effect. The Lord Himself had a name for that. And He called them hypocrites. Don't be caught up in that crowd. Just don't. You've got people that you love, and you want to do right by them, and you want them to come to Christ because you've tasted the goodness of Jesus, and you want them to taste it too. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You can't beat them upside the head with the Bible even. You know, I'm being gentle now. I laid down my two before. You know, but you just got to live your life in a way that just don't be afraid to say I messed up, that I asked for forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying just go out here and rob a bank or steal a car. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, whenever you do say something wrong, be the one who apologizes. Be the one who asks for forgiveness. You know, there's some family, you know, I always refer to it as family dynamics, that they just don't have anything to do with one another. And that's a sad state. I mean, it really is. And sometimes I'll show them, you know. Even though if you just say it to yourself, well, I'll show them. I can be a little hard too. Now, don't do that, because that begins to grow inside of you a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness has to be removed. And the easiest way in the world to remove it is to show forgiveness in true love. And that root of bitterness will fall away. Now, they may not speak to you, but I can guarantee you this. You won't be the one laying awake at night with this on your mind. If you forgive, God truly forgives. And that's the good thing about having Jesus as our Savior. Question 8 is, like you say, how might such disobedience affect other believers? You know, a lot of people will read that passage and think, well, it's a little baby. Well, I've got zero tolerance for anybody that harms children. That's something that the Lord and I will work out one of these days. Maybe He'll grab the two before. But I've got zero tolerance for that. But I also should have zero tolerance for misleading or trying to make a young Christian stumble. You know, we should not do that, because that's the same thing. You know, I've got enough that I'm going to have to be accountable for. I don't want to mislead anybody. I don't want us to bring somebody into a false belief or a false religion. Absolutely nothing. That's the reason it's important that we stand on that. Leadership. You can walk into a church and you know whether or not it's a Bible-believing church. I've been in places and have walked out of places that the speaker got up and never opened the Word of God. It wasn't, thus saith the Lord. It was, thus saith me. And listen, you turn on the TV, you can tell within 30 seconds where that's leading. We're here together. Have your radar on, because just like we were talking how hard it is to grow up today, well, it's hard to maintain that narrow path. And without the guidance of the Holy Spirit and without Jesus Christ as our advocate, folks, none of us would make it. None of us. It's too hard. You know, King David, probably the greatest king that Israel ever had, he messed up a couple times. Saul, he messed up. We're going to mess up too. But we're standing on that solid rock, and we have the Lord to go to ask forgiveness. And folks, it doesn't get any better than that. I've got enough going on in my life now. I don't need more. You know, that's, you know, if people could see my undershirt, you know, some people, especially in the pastor, is very humble. You know, he'll tell you the same thing. You know, most non-believing Christians or non-Christians, they think when people like us open our shirt, there's a big S on it. And the world has taught them to think Superman. But really, it's a sign for a sinner, saved by grace. I miss being together. I do. I miss being together. I missed fellowshipping with people back home, because there's a couple places that I just enjoy going to. I know, you know, it's the Word of God. It's brothers and sisters in Christ. Just being in fellowship. You know, it's a blessing. And the world, like I said, and I think everybody in here has kind of reiterated it, that the world is watching. You know, at times you get into a place where it's just uplifting. I mean, you just feel the Spirit of God upon you. If you could maintain that, I don't know how long our hearts could last. But I'm telling you, in that moment that will all be changed, and we'll be like God has intended it forever. That's the feeling. Only better. It's just going to be, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Question 9. Consider times when you have seen professing Christians go through difficult, even traumatic circumstances and remain firm in their faith. What connection do you see between the consistency of their obedience to Christ and their ability to endure? I think it's that solid rock. If you're a mature Christian, you know what you're standing on. Nobody can, the gates of hell can't prevail against that. It's that solid foundation that no matter what comes to you, you can stand there. And you have one that you can go to in prayer. I think truly prayer is one of the most neglected tools that God has given us. And I think we neglect it. I really do. Any thoughts on that? Trust. You know, the trust is such a big thing for a mature Christian. You got to trust. Question 10 says, suppose Jesus personalized this question for you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not blank? What are the specific issues Jesus would point out to us? I don't know that we have enough time. I don't know that we have enough time just to examine my life. But I do know this. I trust in Jesus Christ. No matter what this world throws against me. And folks, it's going to throw things. If you've not received that phone call, if you've not got that medical report, if you've not had something traumatic in your life, I'm not trying to sound morbid, hang on, because it's coming. And you need to be sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're standing on that firm foundation. Because this world will do everything it can to try to rock you. Lord, Lord, give me strength. Give me strength. 11 says, what steps will you take this week? Of course, it's kind of to bring your actions more closely in line with your profession that Jesus is Lord. Let me give you a heads up. Open this thing up. Open it up. You ever hear the old term camel knees? The old knees should just be look like a camel's knees because we're on our knees praying. That's where you grow close. That's how when the world throws things at you, you run to what you know is truth, and that's the Lord. Well, I think we're going to make it through this lesson. What steps will you take this week to bring your actions more closely in line with the profession that Jesus is Lord? And I said, just make sure that you understand where you're standing. Be on that proper foundation. If you don't have that foundation, you're in the perfect place today to ask forgiveness and Jesus to be your one and only builder. Any questions on this? Anything at all? Thank you all for your participation. It's good to know. It's good to have Jesus as our firm foundation. Next week is also a good one. It gets pretty good. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. And Lord, thank you for these folks. Lord, already the bond that is formed between us, Lord, is that of what you've showed us, and that is love. Father, I do thank you for all you've done, all you will do, and I do pray for the remainder of the service, Lord, to be with our pastor. Lord, protect him and keep him, be with his family. Lord, as the world comes bouncing up against this building, and Lord, against the children that are inside, Lord, just watch care over us all. Lord, be with this country. Lord, allow that census to have an effect upon people's hearts. Lord, that they won't be none, but there will be many that will come to the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, again, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.